This hour of Overdrive is powered by Muskoka Woods. This summer, let your child experience an overnight camp like no other. Let the adventures begin at MuskokaWoods.com.
Family Day excitement through the roof. The boys are in the house.
There it is.
Feeling it on a Monday afternoon.
For the great people of Overdrive that support Overdrive, that's why we came in here today. I will tell you one thing. That parking lot is a little bit sparse
today. Oh, it always is. Every year, it's annual event.
Free parking out there, I'll tell you that. You can park anywhere you want.
Yep,
okay,
I love
look,
it.
I'm not going to make a big deal about this and get in trouble, but what I don't understand is, does Bell honor the holiday or not? Because it seems like some people just say, I'm taking the holiday. Well, so why don't we do that? We're just saying, we're not coming in.
Here's my thing, though. I use the barometer. If that guy behind the glass is here...
Mulls.
I was shocked Mullen was here. Yeah.
That's when you know it's not a holiday.
Right. It is not a holiday. We are a national company, and this is a provincial holiday. Ray took the holiday. I guess it's Family Day in BC, Ray.
It is in Alberta, too.
There's a couple of provinces. Yeah. But we're in here, man. We got a lot of things going on. I'm kind of happy to be in here.
So just for clarification.
Speak for yourself.
Just for clarification. It's Family Day everywhere in Canada except for Quebec. Is that correct?
No, I think there's a number of
provinces
that don't recognize it.
So it's
It's only Ontario.
No, Ontario has Family Day. BC has. I don't know if it's called Family Day,
but it's
Alberta,
holiday.
It's a holiday. Whatever it is, it's a provincial holiday.
And what's
holiday.
It in the States? Because
it's President's Day down there.
Because they tweeted out Happy President's Day.
Oh yeah, I'm sure he did.
He had a great time over the weekend. He was at a big race over the weekend.
Was he?
Yeah. So I don't know. We should look that up. What provinces throughout the country are not celebrating some sort of holiday today?
Yeah.
Because it was Dalton McGuinty that came up with this one. Family Day. He ran on that, or I think it was a part of his platform.
You vote for me, you get it.
Yeah, because forever, February just didn't have anything, right? Like, the majority of months have something.
Yeah.
Some sort of civic holiday.
Forget about him. We don't get it anyway, so what do we care?
Yeah, exactly.
Thanks a lot.
This one's on Trudeau. We need Trudeau to step up here.
Well, that's not going to happen.
He's still over in, I think he's over in Europe now.
I think he's, apparently I read that he's making his way back because he's got to take care of some fires here in his own country instead of kissing ass over there. Because he's... this railway situation's a gong show.
Yeah,
we
that
can't
is getting
get into
ugly.
It. I don't want to choose sides or anything. It's just...
That is getting ugly.
It's getting ugly, and let's get it sorted out.
Well, how do we segue that into what we're going to get into today?
Talk about getting ugly? Do you want to do that?
Well,
there you go.
I mean, this is where, again, there's a lot of places to start for that. Our boy Rob Manfred was taking shots over the weekend.
Is he honestly trying to get fired? I think he is. This is a fireable offense, the way he's conducted all of this. Like,
well...
How have the owners not stepped in and say, we're firing you?
Mike Trout, when you got Mike Trout, and he's a pretty...
He doesn't say anything about anyone ever.
Yeah, I kind of lost some respect. And like, when Mike Trout has to weigh in...
If Mike Trout rips you, you are a jerk.
That should be the barometer.
There's the barometer
that
right
should
there.
Be. Our barometer for whether or not we have to be here is Mullen. If Mullen is here,
then
we know we have to be here. The barometer in baseball should be if Mike Trout
says anything
that is like lukewarm in terms of criticism, whoever is on the wrong side of it,
you're fired.
Clearly should be fired.
Exactly.
But I'm not going to fall into this trap because I've witnessed it before and I've fallen into it before. Manfred, different context, clearly, but is dealing with the exact same thing that Roger Goodell dealt with a few years ago. Remember when he buckled and chewed up and spat out the Ray Rice verdict and everything that went down with that.
The whole process.
He butchered it. And everyone was saying the exact same thing. You're incompetent. You're a joke. You've got to go. And Roger Goodell continues to sit on his pulpit in New York.
He waited it out.
It's not up to the media or the fans to determine that. There's 32 guys in football, and there are 30 in baseball that make that determination.
And they print money.
They print money.
And this guy runs the show.
And he's the whipping boy. Now, what is a little bit different with this is with the Ray Rice, you know, suspension and the videotape and whether or not they went through the right course of action. And there were a couple of other incidents after that that really put Goodell into the firing line. That was more about you know, how couldn't you be tougher on a specific player?
Right.
But the other teams didn't necessarily feel like they were maybe put in a spotlight by their own fans to act on it, so to speak.
Right.
I would think in this scenario, there would be some owners that would be like, Manfred is screwing us here because he's letting these cheaters off the hook the way that he is. And our fans are starting to get pissed off.
What do you think the Dodgers owner sitting there in that room?
Why wouldn't you want Houston to be penalized more? Why wouldn't you want Manfred to explain himself a little bit more? I don't know why you wouldn't.
No.
But clearly they're not, because Manfred is not going anywhere right now, because they're making money. They got a CBA coming up. They want him to lead that charge.
Yeah.
And they know this will blow over eventually.
It's just a bad, like, it's a bad look, but how long does this bad look last until the next thing comes around? I think they're willing to ride it out.
At a bare minimum, though, he gets an email from an ownership group or some kind of, you know, of the important guys, the older grizzled guys, and say, okay, look, we're not really happy with you right now. You're not going to get, but can you just shut up?
Or act like you're prepared.
Yeah.
Or whatever. But he's like, got to be notified by these guys somehow.
He did that presser yesterday and was actually being sarcastic with people.
Yeah.
Like, was being sarcastic.
Well, didn't he say to somebody, good on you, you found an email or a...
Yeah.
Or,
oh, congratulations. Like, as if... Like, that's great journalism.
Yeah,
like, good journalism,
he's like
caught you.
He's in trouble. Not in trouble, but he's the guy they're shining a light on, and he's being condescending.
By the way, what was the email?
It was the email about... Houston and what they knew, and I don't remember the context of it, but it was a pretty significant scoop.
Right. He's like, good for you.
Yeah, being very condescending, like congratulating the reporter who was posing a question. And, you know, what he had to say about taking back the World Series in 17. We have the audio of this.
Yeah.
This, to me, is the worst look of it all. Like, him trying to dance around what he's doing. But to downplay the significance of the World Series...
Didn't he call it, like, a silver, like, trophy or...
Yeah, like a piece of metal
or
something.
Yeah.
Here, let's hear it. This is Rob Manfred over the weekend on why he decided not to rescind the 2017 World Series.
The idea of, you know, an asterisk or asking for a piece of metal back seems... You know, sort of a futile act. People are always know that there was something about the 2017 World Series that was different, and they're going to know that because whether we made every decision right or wrong, we undertook a really thorough investigation, and we had the intestinal fortitude to put out there the facts we found, even though they weren't very pretty.
The piece of metal comment, man.
How awful is that? Like, that's how you feel about the World Series? It's just a piece of metal?
Yeah. Like, and that's a T-shirt.
Like, yeah, that's, you know, like, it's a free giveaway. Like, anyone could get it. You could buy it at a flea market down the road. And
Justin Turner from the Dodgers wasn't happy with that one.
Well, no, nor should he be.
It's a poor choice of words, but it's also... I don't know where... Would you be fine? Like, what would be the appropriate...
Poor choice of words.
No.
As a commissioner of Major League Baseball.
I know, but I'm saying, what would be the appropriate punishment? 2017?
I think you wipe it off the books.
And just say, didn't happen?
Yeah, I've come to that conclusion. I would do it. I said on Friday, I think Houston should lead that charge. They're not going to do it.
No.
But if they came out and said, you know what? We're giving it back. We don't want it, and we're going to go out there and prove to you in 2020 we're legit. And I don't care. You can have a security guard sitting in our dugout for every single game. Watch yourself, because we're taking numbers on who's calling us out, and we're coming to get you.
Yeah.
I'd actually kind of like that, and I'd support it. I'd still hold 17 and 18 and 19 against them with all the cheating, but I'd be like, you know, that's an attitude I can get behind.
Right.
But I think what Manfred is trying to say with that is, you know, you can't take back history. We witnessed it. We saw it. They won.
Correct.
But what you could do by officially taking it away is you go to them and you say, you can't promote yourselves as the winner. Like, that trophy that's in the mantle case or whatever, that's coming with us.
That piece of tin.
You keep your rings, but you're out of Cooperstown. You're out, like, as far as the record books that we control, you're out. And we're watching you, because if you promote yourself as the 17 winner, we're going to fine you. We're going to do everything you possibly can.
Right. Every T-shirt, everything off the shelves.
Right. Like, yeah, you won. Like, that literally happened. We saw it 3 years ago.
You won, but that's it.
Pretend you can't it celebrate happen. It or promote
it. Pretend it didn't happen.
Yeah. And that is what I think Houston is waiting for, the smoke to clear. And then they'll get back to regular scheduled programming where they're like, we're still the winners, and here's our rings, and we got the World Series trophy, and
let me ask you,
it's
this.
All good.
So if social media was around back in, what was that, 99, the Brett Hull skate in the crease? Like, you couldn't ask Detroit. Now, that wasn't cheating, but the letter of the law, that goal should have been called back, correct?
Yeah,
all
absolutely.
Agree with that? Now, what do you think the fallout would be in today's world if that happened and stood? Like, just based on social media, pressure, all of the things that come out. Like, would Dallas have to address that?
No, because it's not their fault.
It's not their call. Somebody else.
It's the official that would have to.
The official, the league, everyone else. Oh,
I don't think there's any comparison there. I mean, the league would probably have to.
Right.
But I'm assuming the league did at some point. I mean, it's not like the media didn't pay attention to it.
No.
Social media was not available, but it would have been in every paper, on every news channel, yeah, everywhere.
Next time we have Craig in, we should ask if there was any blowback on them. I mean, they won.
It's not their fault, though.
It's not their fault at
Brett
all.
Brett Hull scored, great. And then if you want to take it back, okay, we keep playing. It's not right. Like they were under protest saying we're not going to continue to play if you call it back.
Right.
That's on the league. That's not on the team. So anyway, we got a big show in terms of baseball today. Alex Anthopoulos has a new title and an extension down in Atlanta. He's going to be on at 5:30.
Awesome.
We'll get into the passing of Tony Fernandez. Really sad story, one of the all-time great Blue Jays, and he's up on the level of excellence, and he's been there for a long time. And
I always tried to sling it to first base like Tony Fernandez.
He was a
everybody
sidearm
did.
Guy, right?
Everybody did.
Sidearm, side little, just a little flick.
The best. Like, if you were a kid playing ball in the 80s or 90s, you always tried,
buddy, when I played,
to pretend to be Tony Fernandez. Yeah.
When I played co-ed baseball and I played shortstop, you know, like, before the inning starts, the warm-ups, every time, the Tony Fernandez.
You had to pull up Fernandez. And even his stance in the box was impossible to mimic, but you tried. Like, just his stance, and he was a switch hitter. He'd steal bases. He was unreal.
Yeah.
He was a great, great Blue Jay.
I believe he was sick a couple years ago, was he not? Had a stroke or something?
Yeah,
like
he
that.
Had a stroke, and then he had kidney issues. He's had some really, tough go for a few years, and he passed away over the weekend. So we'll get into that a little bit with Anthopoulos. Steve Phillips will join us in the 6 p.m. hour as well.
By the way, your boy Anthopoulos brought aboard one of your boys.
John Gibbons is back in the game.
You suck on that one for tonight, will you?
As a scout.
Yeah, not exactly the title he was hoping for.
That's
but he's
awesome.
In. He's getting paid. How much would he make? How much do you think he would make to be like an amateur scout or whatever he is?
Baseball probably pays more than... Than hockey,
like $100,000.
Oh, it's a six-figure salary, but it's $150, maybe $200.
That's great, man. He probably never has to leave Texas. But he's probably just hanging around.
Here's the other thing that I don't know if people would pay attention to: the pension alone in baseball is ridiculous.
It is.
So
I don't know if it applies on that side though.
I believe the managers. Maybe that's something that we could ask them. I don't know. Like it's. I don't know if it's a private thing, but my understanding, if you've been in the game...
Players, for sure. But like, if you're in the game for 10 years plus, it's off the charts, the money you
off
make.
The charts.
Like, yearly, I want to say it's like $400,000 a year.
Something ridiculous.
Pension.
Yeah. You didn't know that?
Why don't NHL players
Well, the
have
NHL's
that?
Pension is a lot better now. Like, ridiculous. If you put 10 years in the NHL, say a guy, you know, like Draisaitl just started, you know, he's 5 years in, he's got another 5 years. Their pension is quite significant. It's a lot better or more improved than when you and I were playing, but they've worked hard at it. And
you had to chip away in negotiations.
Exactly.
I mean, that's what baseball...
But baseball has a ridiculous pension.
Yeah.
Ridiculous. And it's awesome. It's good for those guys because they're taking care of the rest of their lives. I would love to see the NHL in the next CBA have free health care for all former players because it's really expensive in the States for these guys. I talked to a player who said that he's paying like $35,000 a year for health care down there. That's a chunk.
Well, it's on the union to fight for them, right? I mean, that's what ends up happening a lot of times. The current players are like, not my problem, man.
No, and
I'm playing.
It's never going to be me.
It's not on that. No. My understanding, I thought the NBA did something for their former players in their last CBA.
Yeah, they did. They put aside like a boatload of money that they spread around, and I think it was covering them. I don't remember the exact details, but they did.
Yeah.
And the thing is, they're dealing with the bigger piece of the pie, right?
For like, sure.
Baseball, I want to say, brings in $8 or $9 billion a year in revenue, and basketball and hockey is lower than that. They're still making billions of dollars, but
it's different.
It's on the union to fight for it. Ramona Shelburne expected to join us at some point this afternoon as well. She was in Chicago at that All-Star game yesterday. There's a lot to get into from that, but we'll get to the Maple Leafs weekend. The Leafs take 2 of 4 points over the weekend. Last week, they took 4 of 8 points total. They're probably through the easiest stretch of the season, the past 9 games, and they picked up 9 points. And Sheldon Keefe had some really intriguing comments about his team last night.
Yeah.
We'll play them. We'll get into it next. All right, Ramona Shelburne of ESPN will join us a little bit later in the afternoon. We're going to debut a new segment today.
Oh, yeah?
The fastest 10 seconds in sports. XFL will have 10 seconds to tell us about what happened in the XFL.
It was brought to my attention yesterday to ask XFL and you a question about the league.
I have nothing to say about the XFL. I don't watch. I don't follow it.
It's more of a gambler's question.
Okay. Well,
all I know is there was a quarterback who ripped his team and got benched in the second quarter.
Yeah. Was that McGloin? I think it was McGloin.
Oh, what are you acting like you know who that was?
McGloin.
By the way, you got to give him 20.
No, that's the whole point of it. You have 10 seconds.
10 seconds.
He's probably going to get cut off every single week. And then no one can complain that we don't bring XFL on with some XFL scoops.
All right.
We cover all of our bases here.
We do.
All right.
I had an uncomfortable situation this morning. My dad, I went and saw my mom and dad today, and he's like, "Who's Al's brother?" I'm like, "He's this guy that was so ridiculous."
Well, it's tough to explain that.
Yeah, I'm like, we used to have a guy here that's name was Al, who's, I don't even think his real name was
Joe.
Al.
No, his name was Joe.
Yeah, and then I said, this other guy just came aboard, and he looked like him, so we called him Al's brother. And then he's like, "Well, what about the grappler?" And it's a family setting. And he's like, "What's up with him?" I'm like, "I don't know. He's just the grappler." And he's like, "Well, how did he get that name?"
I don't know. We get tweets and emails and messages almost daily.
We will never reveal how the grappler got his name.
No, that's not
our story to tell. That'll be in Grappler's book.
Yeah.
Right? When he writes a book in 30 or 40 years, he can write a whole chapter about the genesis of the handle. The grappler.
In his own life.
Right.
He'd never
the octopus.
Seen, yeah.
Yeah.
Never seen anything like it.
Well, he's a professional, right?
Yeah. 20 years.
20 years. I've 20 never years seen of anything like that.
Being a professional. So anyway, we'll get to the fastest 10 seconds in sports a little bit later in the afternoon. Kristen Shilton on this afternoon with an update about the mood around the team. Because the Leafs, I don't see how the mood can be positive.
Well, their schedule now.
How can it be positive?
But one thing they can look at is still ahead of Florida. Florida is trying to gift this to them.
Well, so are the Leafs, though.
The Leafs are
FaceTiming Q and being like, "Can you get your guys together? We don't want to be playing in April."
Well, they've...
Like, look at the run they just went on. They played 9 games. They have played 9 games since February 1st. Probably the easiest stretch of the whole season.
As far as quality of competition.
In terms of quality competition, right? Yep. Ottawa in there, Buffalo in there, Anaheim at home, the Habs.
Yeah.
Arizona at home.
Yeah.
You know, really, you're not looking at Tampa.
It wasn't murderer's row.
St. Louis or whatever.
Well,
they got 9 points. 9 of 18, 1 win in regulation. Like, that's how inconsistent they've been. That's how poor they've been. Like, that's just not playing well in any facet of the game.
I said to Brian, too, like, Florida's playing right now. By the end of our show, Florida could be 2 points behind the Leafs with 1 game in hand. Now, that's if they get their act together, too. Like, there's, like you say, now they're out in California. It's not murderer's row, but it is time change and all of that. Like,
and I'm not buying any of this injury stuff or Morgan Riley out. But what Pittsburgh's done and other teams have dealt with injuries.
Well, the whole
Boston
league is
injured. Boston in the past.
Look at Edmonton.
Like, Edmonton's a great example.
3-1.
3-1 without McDavid. Multiple time zones, multiple, like, back-to-backs.
Well, yeah, they went in.
Go out there and roll.
They played at home and then went to Tampa 2 days later. Put up a good fight against Tampa, empty netter, lost 3-1, then played Carolina.
Florida, beat Florida, and then
beat Florida
Carolina.
Saturday afternoon, wasn't that an afternoon game in Florida? And then Sunday, like, against Carolina. And Drysdale's putting a show on. Like, he's got 10 points in 10 points in four games.
In four
he's
games
gonna win the Hart Trophy.
Well, yeah, he's definitely in the
he's in the running. Like
he's leading right now.
No, he's leading.
He is absolutely leading.
He is leading. There's
they get
no doubt.
In, yeah. He wins. Bottom line. Yeah. End of story, game over.
I think you're probably right. I don't see how you can argue it. I mean, if he ends up with 120 plus points and
well, it's crazy.
They get in, there's no way. I mean,
yeah, but that it just getting back to any other team that can claim about injuries, that's, you know, there are teams that are decimated with injuries, but other teams that you know outside of Morgan Riley, the Leafs still have the guys that they're paying money to.
Yeah,
correct.
Like Janssen is a miss, but he hasn't really factored in all year.
Mikheyev's
been out for months. I mean, it's not like, and Mikheyev's a rookie.
Yeah.
Right? Now, Cody Ceci, I know he's not everyone's favorite player, myself included. I don't think they're necessarily missing him, but he is a guy who's familiar with the grind in the NHL.
He's a veteran player that can give you minutes. And,
yeah.
And, you know, right now, I said this to Brian off air, like, you know, you're not going to expect Liljegren and Sandin to dominate every night. Like, I thought they got a little bit exposed on the road in a back-to-back situation last night. It happened.
The back-to-back, I just don't understand, and I find this team hard to figure out and understand. Of all the situations, I know it's back-to-back, but you got to know, and I get it that Buffalo had some players back. They're a bit of a better lineup. But everyone else goes into Buffalo and squashes them. How they didn't have the urgency to go in there and dummy the Buffalo Sabres, I just didn't see it.
Well,
and I know you played back-to-back, but it was Ottawa-Buffalo. That's not that long a flight. It's just, and the urgency of taking a stranglehold on the situation, I didn't really see it. I don't know.
No, it wasn't. Well, you didn't see it because it wasn't there.
Let's go back to Saturday. Like, Jack Campbell played pretty damn well.
Absolutely. That's a better example.
That game wasn't, you know, you're up 3-0.
But
you're
that's
in control.
It should have been 5-0.
Exactly.
That's the issue with this team. And maybe it's because they're just not that good. Like, maybe we keep seeking out answers, but it's facing us, and it has for 60 games. This isn't
right.
10 games. 60 games, they're just not that good. But when you're up 3-0 against Ottawa, that's got to be 5-0 to start the third.
Right.
It can't be 3-2 holding on for dear life. And the same thing with last night where it was a different context. But you know show for 40 minutes. Like, about
yeah.
absolutely pathetic effort. But then you tie it at 2.
Yeah.
That's where it should be. Tampa, St. Louis, Boston, Washington
game
win
over.
That 4-2.
Yeah.
They say, you know what? Because Buffalo's dying to pack up their bags. Dying.
Yeah.
When they went 2-2, if the Leafs score and make it 3-2, they win 5-2. Buffalo's like, we're done. That's
yeah.
enough.
Carter Hutton
we're not going down
tonight.
This road
they
again.
They tried. Carter Hutton made two massive saves at 2-2.
Right.
Did.
On Kerfoot and Tavares.
And then Muzzin takes a penalty, and Eichel scores. And then that was it, though. Like, no, the resilience to push.
No, they completely buckled after that. And that is the issue with this team. They do not recognize the moment. They don't seize the moment. And that's the position they find themselves in. You know, they got 22 games, and you look at their schedule. I went over the schedule. We'll get to Sheldon Keefe's comments in just a moment.
Right.
But if you – I did a bit of a, like, a pyramid
a
here.
Deep dive, yeah.
They have 22 games left. The most important two games are against Florida. We know who
yeah.
that – we know that. So they got one at home against Florida, one on the road against Florida. The next layer of importance in the pyramid is the four games against the bubble teams in the Metro. They have two against Carolina, one against the Islanders, one against the Blue Jackets, all of them fighting for the wild card spot.
Correct.
The third layer, this is where it really gets dicey. Seven games remaining against the Eastern elite teams. Five of the seven are on the road.
Two coming up.
Three against Tampa, two of which are in Tampa. Two against Pittsburgh, both this week. And at Boston, at Washington. They have to find a way to get three wins, at least.
Yeah,
and right now I have no faith they'll find a way to get three wins against those teams, and then the final layer is the nine remaining games against Vancouver, the California teams, Nashville, New Jersey, Ottawa, Detroit, Montreal.
Montreal, it's the last game of the season.
Right. So that's your pyramid right there: the two against Florida, the four games against the Metro bubble teams, the seven games against the Eastern elite teams, and then the other nine you probably got to get 14 of 18 points,
yeah.
You know,
yeah,
at least
all day.
12 minimum, 12.
Yeah.
So they're
well, they
chugging
put themselves
uphill,
in they put themselves in a tough spot. And you're right, like you focus on one team, and that's really the Florida Panthers. But that gets a little bit scary too, because you know the Panthers have. If you did that pyramid, I was looking at their schedule. Like, they've got a little bit lighter schedule as far as quality of competition. Doesn't mean they're going to win those games or whatever. I keep coming back to this. If the Leafs just take care of their own game and worry about wins, like, that stuff works itself out. But now you start scoreboard watching, and you need help from this team, and you need help from that team. And he mentioned it, like the bubble Metro teams. Those guys are getting points every night. Columbus getting points. Columbus was up 2-0, down 3-2, and found a way to you know, I think lose in a shootout.
They got a point though, yeah.
Right.
You know? Carolina did the same thing against Edmonton.
Right.
Scored in the third, got a point, lost, but still got their point.
Yeah, exactly.
So Sheldon Keefe had a comment. Do we have both the Babcock audio from Nashville last year that caused a big stir? Why don't we start with that? Why don't we play Mike Babcock? This was in Nashville towards, I believe, the end of last season. Asked about his depth. They were running into some injury problems and the situation they were dealing with at the time. Here's what Mike Babcock had to say about a year ago about his team.
The thing about a team is you got 23 spots in it, and you got a minor league team, and you're supposed to build the best program you can to have as much depth so you don't miss people. Now, if you have enough, you don't miss a beat, and you just keep on going. There's other teams that have done a better job when their players, different players are out than we have in keeping on going. And so that just tells you what state you're at, and you just got to keep adding better players.
We heard that voice every day for 5 years. We haven't heard it.
I don't miss it at all.
In a couple of months.
Oh, my God.
Just hearing his voice, I'm like, wow, it's Babs unique. Is gone. Like, Babcock is gone. So he said that about his team. You know, we don't handle it the way the other elite teams do, basically, when we miss out on some guys.
Right, right.
And that caused an absolute firestorm. Calling out Dubas.
Right.
You've been here for 5 years. Coach your way through it. So you hear that. Here's what Sheldon Keefe had to say post-game last night.
We need to find more solutions to our depth, the injuries and things that we've had. I think we're finding some challenges. I think on our third and fourth lines and on our defense, on a back-to-back and with the schedule the way it's been, I think it really, really revealed itself in a game like this today against a team as deep as Buffalo is.
A team as deep as Buffalo is.
I think he meant that
healthy.
Yeah, did he? Or just, like, almost, he wasn't actually flattering them. It was almost like a sarcastic comment? I don't know. I mean, there's no way you believe Buffalo's deep. They're not deep. Anyway, it doesn't matter. That part of the comment doesn't matter.
Yeah, let's throw that one out, but it's just more.
But what's the difference between what he said and what Babcock said a year ago?
Well, I think
what's the difference?
Nothing.
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 Comment.
There's nothing. To me, it's saying that
when you're not a jerk, you can get away with it. That's the bottom line.
Well, yeah, but it's, like, is he not calling out his GM or is he calling out the players?
The players.
Like, it's one or the other.
The players. They're not doing a good enough job in a back-to-back situation. End of story.
But he's also saying our depth in the third and fourth line aren't producing. Like, the guys who have been plugged and played, and that's what Babcock said a year ago. Good organizations plug and play. Pittsburgh Penguins, for example.
The best at it.
Teddy Bluger, guys come out of nowhere. All of a sudden, you know, Brian Rust has a resurgence. And, you know, so you're looking at Toronto and you're going, okay, like, you've got the health of your of the guys that you're paying a lot of money up front. You're getting value out of Jason Spezza. Like, that's not a question. But with all due respect, like, when you start to look at that bottom six, let's say you're playing against the Leafs and that bottom six is on the whiteboard. Who scares the hell out of you? Is it Engvall? Is it Kerfoot? Is it, like, nobody?
No,
they're good
nobody
players.
Scares like, how many teams have guys on that?
No,
third
I know,
line
but I'm just saying, being aware of.
Not too many bottom sixes around the. I don't care. The best team in the league are not scaring you that much.
Yeah, I don't think it's a premeditated fear. It's an after the game you look back and say, I didn't see that coming. And that's what the Leafs aren't getting, right?
Okay.
Like, no coach is walking out saying, I wasn't preparing for that to happen last night.
I guess my point is I'll give you an example. Florida, the team they're battling for. Nolichari's got 18 or 19 goals. Connolly's got 19 goals. Like, that's the bottom of their roster. Like, Boston, you know, you look at Boston, like, they continue to get, you know, Heinen and Corrali and guys like that, like that Wagner. Produce. That's my point.
Yeah, no,
that's
my hear
point.
You.
It's not. I guess scaring you is the wrong wording. But where is the depth on a night where maybe Austin and Mitch and Tavares don't have it or they can't find the back of the net? Somebody else has to give it to you.
No, it's Zach Hyman.
Right, and Zach's been great.
Jason Spezza, but Alex Kerfoot has brought nothing to the table for quite some time.
He got injured there, and since he's been back, he's...
Nothing to the table. He's not playing at the bottom six either. He's playing with Tavares and Nylander, he isn't bringing much. Engvall is just kind of settled in, and he is kind of... He's probably a fourth-line guy in the NHL.
He's just out there right now.
Yeah, and you've got... I have a bigger concern with... You look at the defense corps, where they're all playing out of position or being exposed too often. And again, I keep coming back to Tyson Barrie. Barrie has not imposed his will on any games. He hasn't been bad. It's not necessarily like you're watching him and he's chewing it up every single night.
No.
But when Riley went down, what did we all say? Well, here's your opportunity.
Here's an opportunity.
Be the number one. Go get yourself a new deal and get paid.
Yep.
And he at no point has looked like a guy who has stepped up in the moment. Jake Muzzin, we all like to love Jake Muzzin.
Correct.
But he is a classic example of a guy, gives you 20, you love it. Yeah. Gives you 23. Those extra 3 minutes are not going to be positive. They're going to be negative. In Montreal, 3 games in 4 nights. Remember, he was awful in Montreal. Yesterday, when he took that penalty in the third period, he turned the puck over. I don't know what he was doing there. Like, that was just kind of a lazy play where I think he ran out of steam. Travis Dermott is not a top four. He's not right now. He might have the tools and he might have the future.
Right.
He is not today.
Not playing.
So, you got a number of guys who are just simply playing way too many minutes or playing in tough spots. Justin Hall, I'm not sure he's a top four.
No. Yeah.
Right? So you got 4 guys who are bottom pair guys having to play. Muzzin's a 3 or a 4 having to play like a 1 or 2. Barrie is a 3 or 4 having to play like a 1 or 2. And it's catching up to them.
Well, it is.
And it's causing big problems.
And what Sheldon's saying is he would like more out of his depth. So... Like you know, look at the successful teams that are getting more production out of guys that are not their stars. We haven't seen that in a while, I guess, in Toronto.
Although the goaltending, they have got it finally. Like Campbell has played well.
Campbell was
a big acquisition early on. He has played well.
And I think Freddie...
You can't ask for anything more from a backup.
No, he's getting you
goalie.
Points. He's going out there and winning games.
And I mean, for 2 periods, Freddie was...
Unbelievable.
Like that game was... I can understand 1 period. What was the shot? 16-4, 16-5 in the first period yesterday? So, yeah, you have a sleeper of a period. Second period, you should be on fire. Like, you come out, okay, a goalie kept us in, no problem. Because I thought Freddie made 2 or 3 big saves.
He was great.
In the first
period. two periods, he was great.
And then in the third, it falls apart. The body language didn't look great after the fifth goal. He wasn't happy.
No.
You could tell he was pissed, which... Rightfully so. He's sitting there looking at his team going, come on, like, give me something else.
Do you think there's a part of him that's like, hey, why didn't I play the night before when my guys were going to have jump? Like, I know we went through this whole thing with Babcock, and it was, why don't you play him in the tougher spot? But yesterday they were both kind of equal opportunities in terms of Ottawa and Buffalo, relatively similar teams.
I'll still to this day never understand that comment from Babcock. He's like, why would you play your... starter because there's a game the night before? It was goofy. I don't even remember what the hell it was. Do you remember that comment?
Yeah, it was about why worry about the next game when you got a game tonight, and what if you don't get that game? It was very convoluted.
Well, you go with your best. Like, I think a lot of coaches' mindset is you go with your best when they're available. Sheldon went with, and Campbell, listen, he was the right choice. Played fantastic
played
on Saturday.
Well.
Yeah. And Freddie played well yesterday, but then, you know, statistically it doesn't look good because he gave up 5. And it's tough to commend a goaltender when they give up 5. It is. I learned that there were nights I gave up 5 and I thought I was fantastic. And then the goalie coach would tell me I wasn't. So, you know, it's unfortunate because I thought Freddie was really good yesterday until that little pocket there and... They got themselves in some trouble.
Ramona Shelburne will join us. She was in Chicago over the weekend. What all of a sudden made the players care about the game in the fourth quarter? Because it was incredible entertainment. I think they've hit on something with, you know, the final score as opposed to a clock in the fourth quarter. But it was a really, really cool event, really exciting, and very unique for All-Star games. We never see it. What all of a sudden triggered players in the fourth quarter last night deciding we're actually going to play? Like, Kyle Lowry took two charges in the fourth quarter at an All-Star game.
Man, I find that frustrating to watch. Like, everybody in the NBA or has anything to do with the NBA has to be at that game. And we can't even get Dylan Larkin at an NHL All-Star game.
Well, it's on the players to care.
Yeah.
And that's what stood out to me last night. The players, they're always at the forefront of this. You can come up with whatever gimmick you want. If the players don't care, it's going to be Bush League and brutal.
You're right.
And that's the NBA players cared, and it worked. We'll get into that more next. All right, Alex Anthopoulos will join us around 5:30. He's got a new title, new deal down in Atlanta. John Gibbons is now officially on his staff with the Braves as well. We'll get into the details on that and ask him how he's planning on handling a season where there's a dark cloud hanging over baseball. You know, a lot of people are saying, like, baseball's burning right now, and Rob Manfred isn't helping it. Anything the Houston Astros do or say, that's not going to help it.
Yeah.
And every day, someone else around baseball is teeing off.
But that,
on
I think
his team.
I watch him, and I think he's trying to get fired. I'm like, are you trying to get fired? Piece of metal? The World Series trophy he called a piece of metal.
Well, we should get into his comments because it's a very different topic about protecting the Astros this season. Yeah. I know everyone's like, forget them. Who cares? Throw it their head. You can't do that. You're never going to, you can't allow for that to happen, but it's going to happen.
Right.
So it's one thing to say we're going to protect them today. How are you going to react in the moment? Because I do believe at some point someone is going to take it upon themselves for some vigilante justice, and it's just a matter of time. So Alex Anthopoulos coming up. Kristen Shilton, who was in Buffalo yesterday in the Maple Leaf Room, will get you an update on the mood around the team around 5:10. But our next guest was in Chicago all weekend, and by all accounts, I mean, it was just an incredible weekend event. The dunk contest was great. The Young Stars or the Future Stars game was great. And the All-Star game was unique because the players cared for whatever reason in the fourth quarter. You know her from ESPN and ESPN.com. Here is Ramona Shelburne. Ramona, can you answer that question? Why all of a sudden did the players care yesterday?
Well, I think it was, one, they were playing for something. So they were playing for, each team had a charity that they were playing for. And I think they met all the kids that were connected to the charity, right? So they had a face with a name, you know, with a name. They were sort of personally invested. But I think also it was like the spirit of competition because it actually mattered if you won the game. And it was, you know, a lot of times All-Star games, like, they just kind of get out of hand. You get down by like 20 points and, like, you know, people are just playing it out and putting on the show with a dunk contest, right? This was like they reset the score after each quarter, so there was like a winner for each quarter, and you gave like a pretty good cash prize to the charity after each one. But I think some of it, honestly, was like because the score was close. Like there could be a scenario where they do this again next year, and it's like not close, right? Like one team's up by, you know, 30 points or something, and it doesn't matter. But, like, the score was close at the end. And so, you know, I can't believe how long that last period took. Like, you know, initially it was going to be add 35 to the team with the highest score after, you know, three periods. It would have taken an hour to get to that. I mean, like, they added 24 points for Kobe, right? Like, because that was his number. It would have taken so long. Because, you know, I asked how long was the actual game time? Because they didn't keep a clock, right? It was just, you know, first team to 157 wins, and they played 15 minutes of actual game time. It was over 15 minutes, so it's like a 12-minute period, and it's like, I guess, a 3-minute overtime to get to 24 points. Like, in an All-Star game, that was unbelievable.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
You just mentioned Kobe. How much was that a factor, just paying tribute to him, wanted to put out a good showing? I know they renamed the trophy after Kobe Bryant. How much do you think just remembering him and putting on a good show for him was a factor in the weekend?
I actually think it was. I you know, Chris Paul, you know, talked about it afterwards. LeBron, all those guys, like, they felt like, you know, Kobe actually like, competed really hard in All-Star games. Like, it wasn't just a dunk contest for him. And I think, you know, one of the things people talk about, you know, famous Kobe moments. How about the one where Dwayne Wade breaks his nose in an All-Star game, right? Like, and afterwards, Dwayne was like, kind of like apologized to him, like, hey, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have done that, you know. And Kobe was like, no, man, I loved it, that was great. And I think, you know, last night, like, they were all channeling that competitiveness. Like, they all kind of felt like, let's not just have a farce here. Let's not, you know, just we're not just playing around out here. Like this meant something. And when it got close, like everyone started doing it. And I think because everybody started doing it, like especially the two captains, Giannis and LeBron, like Giannis really called him out. You know, did you notice that? Like a couple of times, like Giannis like raised his hand and like took LeBron as a defensive assignment and blocked his shot.
Blocked him like, twice.
Twice, yeah. I mean, once he did that, it was on. Like everybody, it was on for everyone. And then got Kyle Lowry out there taking charges.
Right.
he tried to take one on LeBron at first, and I was like, that's probably the first time anyone's ever tried to take a charge in an All-Star game. Like, I can't imagine anyone would ever do that. But he actually ended up drawing two charges, and then we had coaches reviews. Like, it was like a real game. And I'm kind of wondering what the teams are thinking of this, because, like, it's all fun and games until somebody gets hurt, right? But fortunately, nobody got hurt last night. But it was like a really good game.
With Ramona Shelburne of ESPN, in terms of the rest of the weekend, what kind of tampering rumors were you hearing about?
I didn't really hear any of that this time. Giannis is Giannis. Everybody kind of knows where he stands, right? He keeps saying, you know, if we keep winning, I'll stay in Milwaukee. But he's a pretty good answer for it. I think they know where they stand. He knows where. He's been pretty clear about it. And so there's not really a ton of guys that are like would-be free agents like there were last year, right? Like there were last year, like LeBron had like the all tampering team, right? It was like all these guys that he was trying to recruit in free agency or trade for. This year, like everybody's kind of settled. We get another fun free agency in 2021. But this year it felt pretty chill like that. It felt pretty chill on that front.
Okay. Well, that's too bad. I was hoping. I don't think Van Vliet was down there, but if Fred was down there, maybe something could have happened at that point. Maybe, again, guys that weren't actually in the game down there kind of peddling their services. Although if you're a player, like Fred's a legit player, but if you're a guy like a ninth guy in the rotation in Detroit, I don't think LeBron really cares about you or Giannis.
Doesn't
There's
even
no tampering.
Know who you are.
Yeah. Tampering has a limit. You have to be a legitimate player, I would suggest. But anyway, it sounded like it was a great weekend. Really appreciate you doing this, Ramona. As always, thank you for this.
You got it. I had a good time in Chicago, man. I didn't have that much of a feel for the city until this weekend. Like, I'd been there on trips and stuff, but we never spent, like, time there where Chicago could really show out, you know, with all the people who were from there. And they were real proud of their city. The only thing I will leave with, guys, we didn't see Michael Jordan at all.
Yeah, what was that all about?
That's weird.
That was weird.
That is weird.
That was really glaring to me. And some of that's him, and some of that's, I think, his relationship with the Bulls organization. But that was the only real damper on the weekend. It was like, where's Michael, man? Why isn't he judging this dunk contest?
I mean, no kidding.
Like, you know, like it was nice to see Scotty, nice to see all that, but I didn't know what happened with that, and I'm sure the NBA tried, right? I'm sure there was efforts made, but you know, he didn't. He had his Michael Jordan party, and that's all we saw of him.
Yeah, that's weird, but anyway, great stuff as always. Thank you, Ramona.
Yep, thanks, guys.
There is Ramona Shelburne, ESPN senior writer and reporter. Yeah, I was reading about that today. Like, he was involved in the video, like the opening, when guys from Chicago were talking about where they were from on the map, and that was really well done. And he made an appearance in that. But like, when you think of Chicago and you think of the Bulls,
he
should have
been front and center.
Of course, it's Michael Jordan, which means clearly he's got issues with the Bulls.
Is it not his 57th birthday today?
Today,
right?
It is, yeah.
Because it was trending that little Mutombo where he closes his eyes, the free shot.
Yeah, the free throw. That was sick.
That is sick.
That was during a real game. Closes his eyes.
Like, hey, Mutombo.
Calls out Mutombo.
Awesome.
It doesn't matter. It does not trump the JR story about golf.
Yeah, true.
Where he has a dozen beer and then goes and plays.
Yeah.
And plays 36.
They played 36. They had to be on carts. Imagine he walked that.
No.
Imagine walking 36, 12 beers, and then he went out and scored 40 plus or 52. Yeah.
He probably had an afternoon nap, though. How long can you play 36?
That's taking up a lot of your day, man.
36.
Oh, actually, two guys in a cart that are good golfers, you can zip around pretty quick.
Would that be 8 hours?
5 hours, anyway. Be 2.5 a round.
Yeah.
Like, unless you're playing speed golf and, like,
well,
pick
it up. Well,
you're
probably playing match play, so it's like, pick it up. It's
you could
zoom around pretty
good. You can do it in 2 hours. You can do it in 4 hours, probably.
Yeah. Yeah, so, but what 4 hours? That's my question, because he's got to go home.
Oh, they're on the blocks at 7. Like, Jordan's calling the place and saying, no one else on the course. I'm coming. I got to think. I mean, if he's trying to get 36 in on a game day,
you can't have a slow group
ahead of him.
I feel like he had 18, and then he just goes, oh, let's just keep going.
Well, that's what Ronan got said.
How does that yell go? Move it! I got a game tonight in the NBA.
Imagine a slow group. Like putting out one footers in front of Jordan, costing him 36 on a game day. And he's actually bitter about that.
Yeah.
He probably would be. Kristen Chilton coming up in the next hour. Alex Anthopoulos at 5:30.
This summer, give your child an experience of a lifetime at Muskoka Woods. This overnight summer camp is a place like no other. At Muskoka Woods, you choose your own adventure, featuring over 60 summer arts and athletics activities to choose from. Water sports, media arts, high ropes courses, and so much more. Staff from around the world will ensure your kids learn new skills, make friends, and create memories that will last a lifetime. Muskoka Woods on Lake Rosso, a summer camp experience like no other. Visit MuskokaWoods.com. You've been listening to Overdrive, powered by Muskoka Woods. This summer, let your child experience an overnight camp like no other. Let the adventures begin at MuskokaWoods.com.